Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Dennis Shore, Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Abraham, Dorit Bat Sara, and Shifra Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Seb Ben Chava, Harab Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have two subjects that we want to discuss this week. One is, how do you solve the problem of this massive illegal immigration in the United States, this invasion of the United States, which is demographically changing the United States forever and destroying America from within? How do you solve this problem? Donald Trump claims to be working on solutions, but his solutions are not working. And the second subject we want to discuss involves what Moshe Feiglin will need from the religious nationalist camp, the religious nationalists, Hasrugim, Hadatiim Haleumiim in Hebrew, constitute about 20% of Israeli Jewish voters. And he needs to improve his image among those people in that camp, among those voters. They're about a fifth of Israeli Jewish voters. He needs to improve his image and needs to get a lot more support among them in order to succeed. We're going to discuss the implications of that and how JTF is involved. But first, the solution to illegal immigration is the Rudy Giuliani approach. Yes, you heard it right. Rudy Giuliani approach. It always was the Rudy Giuliani approach. What do I mean by the Rudy Giuliani approach? Now, Rudy Giuliani now is one of the attorneys for Donald Trump and supports Donald Trump. And not only that, when I speak about the Rudy Giuliani approach, I'm not referring to Giuliani's actual position on illegal immigration. Giuliani, as mayor, was 100% in support of all the illegal aliens and all the illegal immigrants and made New York City a sanctuary city. He ordered the police not to report when illegal aliens were apprehended, or if illegal aliens were serviced in hospitals or in anywhere else in the city. The city authorities were ordered by the mayor not to report this to the INS, to the federal authorities, to the immigration authorities. So Rudy Giuliani, along with every other mayor since Ed Koch, turned New York City into a sanctuary city. Rudy Giuliani supported New York City as a sanctuary city, and it was a sanctuary city the entire time he was mayor. So I'm not referring to Giuliani's actual position on illegal immigration. I'm referring to what Giuliani did on crime in New York City. The way he cracked down on crime as mayor, despite the fact that the courts were against him and the DAs were against him and the system was against him and the media was against him, everybody was against him. And he cracked down, he used his powers as mayor, and he created a situation which turned around the crime statistics in New York City so dramatically, to the point where at one time you had 2,300, 2,400, 2,500 murders every year in New York City. Now you've got 500 or 600 murders every year. Now the statistics, you have less than one quarter of the murders that you had because of Giuliani's policies. And even under a communist, disgusting mayor like Bill de Blasio, those policing policies were so effective that they continue to be used even in the de Blasio administration. So we've had decades of much lower crime in New York City because of Rudy Giuliani's tough approach on crime. Because he got a little tough on crime. I would have gotten a lot tougher. But he got a little tough on crime, and that turned the whole situation around. And if you had a president that did the same thing on the issue of immigration, using the full powers of the presidency, you could turn around the situation on illegal immigration. How would you do it? How would Chaim ben Pesach do it? Now, Chaim ben Pesach is not interested in ever holding any office, any political office in the United States or anywhere outside of Israel, because I'm a Jew and my place is in Israel, and every Jew, their place is in Israel. No Jew should hold political office. No Jew should ever hold political office outside of Israel. every Jew belongs in Israel, and to hold political office outside of Israel is a chilul Hashem, a desecration of God's name, even worse than the fact that Jews are living outside of Israel, which is also a chilul Hashem, also a desecration of God's name. So, of course, I'm not interested in political office in the United States, but if I were president, what Donald Trump did this week, the bluff that he pulled on Mexico, where he said he's going to have a 5% tariff, and the whole thing was a bluff. And in the end, he got an agreement with Mexico, which is worthless, which isn't worth the paper it's written on. Mexico making promises that they're going to put troops on their border and that with Guatemala, and that they're going to do all types of things to crack down on illegal immigration. All baloney, all lies. Mexico has made these promises in the past, has made many promises in the past, never keeps any of the promises. And Trump is presenting this as another great negotiating victory, just like the great negotiating victory he made with North Korea's dictator. Remember that? Remember North Korea's going to denuclearize? You remember that one? They're moving full speed ahead with developing more nuclear bombs and more missiles and more everything. So this is just bluff after bluff after bluff from Trump, all baloney. But if we had started on day one of Trump's presidency by saying, we're going to slap tariffs on Mexico, and not threaten to do it, but actually do it. Slap tariffs on Mexico of not 5%, but 50%. You either stop the illegal immigration, or you're going to have tariffs of 50%. We're going to cripple the Mexican economy. You know, Mexico's economy cannot function without the exports that they send to the United States. They cannot survive without those exports. Their entire economy would collapse very quickly. And in addition to putting the full pressure, and not bluffing, but really putting that pressure on Mexico's economy, in addition to that, immediately taking money for the wall from the Defense Department and other sources, and immediately doing this, immediately moving on this, not waiting for Congress and the courts and this one and that one to approve, just building that wall right away. They're not going to tear down the wall once it's built, or at least as long as I would be in the White House if I were the president, they wouldn't tear down that wall once it's built. Once it's built, you have a fact that you've established on the ground. And then Congress would have to pass a law to tear down that wall. You couldn't tear down that wall without Congress passing a law, which of course would never happen. As long as you have a Republican majority in the Congress, it wouldn't happen. And then in addition to that, I would put American troops on the border, and I would say, we don't know if the people crossing the border are terrorists or violent criminals. We've got to allow our troops to protect themselves and protect our citizens. We're going to have shoot-to-kill orders on the border. You cannot have terrorists and criminals crossing the border. When you cross the border from a foreign country, that's like an illegal invasion. So the wall would get built. It would get built very fast. The entire wall would be built very quickly with money diverted from other departments, which the president does have the authority to do. If he does it intelligently and correctly, he has the authority to do that. A really smart president, a constitutional legal expert like Ted Cruz in the White House would have been able to do that. And you have troops on the border, American troops on the border, making sure that nobody crosses that border. And at ports of entry, in the airports everywhere else, you make sure that illegals cannot get into the country. And you have an E-Verify system that is really put in place, not a bluff, but a real system put in place where anyone has to have an identity card proving either that they're citizens or that they're here legally in order to get employment. And if anybody employs people without that, you crack down and arrest them, place them under arrest. The president has the legal authority right now to do all of these things that I've spoken to you about. He has the legal authority to do it. Now, true, the ACLU and all these other groups would immediately sue the president, and it would get tied up in the courts. In the meantime, the president could move forward. And in the meantime, round up huge numbers of illegal aliens and throw them out of the country. While the courts are deciding, you just get them and throw them. You have the authority to throw them out of the country. They're here illegally. You can throw them out of the country. They're here illegally. And you can stop them from coming in the country illegally with American troops and enough manpower at the border to prevent it. and enough physical barrier at the border through a wall to prevent it. You can do this. The way Rudy Giuliani did it. They told Rudy Giuliani it was impossible to do what he wanted to do to crack down on crime. They said, you can't do it. You can't do it. The city's a jungle. The city's ungovernable. There's nothing you can do. It's lost. It's over. Mayor after mayor gave up the fight. Koch, Dinkins, Lindsay, Beam, all of them. They all said it was hopeless. Giuliani refused to accept that. The media attacked him. The ACLU went to court against him. There were numerous court orders and court battles that he was fighting all the time. All the time he was in court fighting. They were saying that the things he did to crack down on criminals were illegal. And he managed to pull it off. He used the full power of mayor and didn't care what anybody said, didn't care who sued him, didn't care what, moved ahead and pushed forward. And the criminals, even the criminals in the street, got the message. And the police got the message. Their hands are no longer tied. And that approach led to a massive drop in violent crime in New York City. If not for that, New York City would be completely destroyed now. Now, New York City is still on the verge of being destroyed because it's a communist city with a communist budget and communist programs. But it's not crime that is going to destroy the city in the end. And that's because of Giuliani and what he did on crime. And by the way, mayors in every other city then replicated what Giuliani did. They imitated him. Now his anti-crime programs are implemented in most cities across the country. And in cities where they're not implemented, like Chicago, you see a massive murder rate and massive crime rate. They said he can't do it. They said no mayor could do it. They said the courts won't allow it. And the courts did rule against him many times. And he did have to fight numerous court battles. And he fought all the battles. And he didn't care. He crossed every line and immediately on day one started. He started, him and his police commissioner and everyone in the police brass immediately started their campaign. Full steam ahead. And if someone wanted to stop them, you know, they had to prove that they have the authority to stop a mayor and stop a police department from cracking down on criminals. Just like if someone wanted to stop a president who would be truly dedicated to moving full speed ahead on illegal immigration, they would have to prove in court that they can prevent a president from throwing people who are in this country illegally out of the country, which the laws clearly state that the president has the full authority to do. The laws clearly, explicitly give the president and the INS the authority to deport people who are here illegally. If you had a Giuliani approach to illegal immigration, the way Giuliani cracked down on crime in New York City, the problem could be solved. And the illegals, because you know, my great leader, Harav Meir David Kahana, Zecher Tzadik VeKadosh Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo, our beloved Rabbi, Rabbi Meir Kahana, the greatest, most ingenious, most brilliant rabbinic scholar, just unbelievable genius in every respect, my leader, our beloved rabbi, our beloved leader. He always used to say, life is not logical, it's psychological. And that is so true. Life is psychological, not logical. If you create the psychology among the illegals that they're about to be thrown out, that there are raids taking place, that you have a president who's really cracking down, that they're not allowing this to go on the border. If you had had a president that had created that psychology, they would be afraid. They'd be scared to come. They'd be scared to come to the border. They don't want to get hurt. They don't want to get killed. They don't want to get shot. They don't want to get arrested and brutally sent back. If you had a president that sent out that message, believe me, they would get that message. And all of the Latin media, Latin American media, and everybody else would be condemning him and calling this president all types of names. That would work in favor of the plan. Because it would scare the hell out of people who would want to come to the United States. They'd say, oh, I don't want to go there. I'm going to go somewhere else. And if other Western countries want to accept them, good. Let the other Western countries accept them. But the United States would not. And it would work. And if you started going to businesses, which again, under the law, the president has the authority to order this right now. You have it is illegal to employ illegal aliens in your businesses. They don't pay taxes. They're not in the country legally. They don't have the proper paperwork. You are not allowed to do this. These are criminal offenses. If you had federal agents going from business to business cracking down, they would only have to do it to a few businesses in a city. And all the other businesses in the city would be panicking, would be afraid. Yes, hiring illegal aliens is cheaper than hiring American citizens or people who are here legally. Yes, it would cost them more. But they don't want their businesses shut down, and they don't want to be put in handcuffs and sent to prison, which you can do, which can be done if you had a president that really wanted to crack down. And yes, the media would condemn and scream and yell. And yes, there would be challenges in the courts. And yes, the Democrats would be screaming and yelling and calling the president all types of names. But I have news for you. That's all happening anyway, even though Trump's getting none of the things that I spoke about done. They're doing all that to him anyway, and he's not getting the job done. Illegal immigration under Trump is up, higher than it was under Obama. I don't care how many MAGA hats you wear. I don't care how many rallies you have. I don't care how much you like to listen to the rhetoric of this orange buffoon. I don't care how many times you want to live in this fantasy world. The statistics are clear. It is the statistics that will decide the future of the United States. And the statistics clearly show. Look them up and see if I'm telling you the truth. Illegal immigration to the United States is higher under Trump than it was under Obama. The number of illegals crossing the border, higher under Trump than Obama. The number of illegals coming in ports of entry, meaning airports and other ports of entry in the United States, higher than it was under Obama. So he hasn't solved the problem. The problem is worse. All the rhetoric in the world is not going to help you when you become a minority in your own country. When Americans are outnumbered by third world people in their own country, all the rhetoric in the world is not going to help you. It's over when that happens. It's finished. Kaput. America's kaput when that happens. Now, why did I present all of this to you? Because, you know, I can't stand the stupidity of Trump supporters, just like I can't stand the stupidity of Netanyahu supporters, who are so easily conned into believing that they have some great messiah who has become their president, who is saving their country. This is such baloney. He just struck a deal with Mexico, which Mexico already agreed 2 months ago. Almost everything in that deal Mexico had already promised this months ago and never kept their word. So they're regurgitating the same stuff that they never kept in the first place. And Trump is saying, oh, you see, now we don't have to slap tariffs on them, you see? And everybody's sighing a sigh of relief. Ooh, we don't have tariffs on Mexico. Good, that means avocados won't be 5% more expensive in the store. The avocados from Mexico. What fools. How brain dead can people be? Now, our main issue at JTF is not illegal immigration into the United States. For Americans who want America to survive, it should be the main issue. But our main issue is not. Our main issue for JTF is Israel and Israel's survival. And as I've said before, if Donald Trump reverses the American policy of decades now of calling for a so-called two-state solution, which means Israeli national suicide, if he reverses that policy and says that he now favors one state, Israel, Judea, Samaria, Gaza, all one state, if he reverses that policy and takes that position, if that's his so-called plan, we will support Trump for re-election. If that's what happens, we will support him. It looks like he will be a lesser of the evils now, and we probably will be supporting Trump for re-election. JTF will probably support him as a lesser of the evils. But remember, as our great leader Rabbi Kahana always said, a lesser of the evils is still evil. He's a bluff. A bluff. And we don't like his policies on many other issues. On many of the other issues, we don't like his policies. He's spending more than Obama was spending. The deficit is growing faster than it was under Obama. National debt is growing much faster than it was under Obama. Again, illegal immigration, higher rates of illegal immigration than under Obama. And everybody's wearing the MAGA hats and saying, oh, you solved the problem. Build that wall, build that wall. Is he building the wall? You think the wall is being built? Are you kidding me? It's not being built. All a fantasy. And he said it was going to be a big, beautiful wall. When they insulted him and said things about him, he said, I just added another 10 feet to the wall. So in other words, he was planning a huge wall, a huge, big, big wall. The only thing he's building is a fence. Obama built fences. And by the way, even that's not getting built. Very little of the fencing is being done. He's calling it now a physical barrier because there's no wall. And even the fencing is not getting done. And of course, a fence is not effective enough to keep people out. A fence, you can easily get through a fence. I know it's not popular to tell the truth. I know it's not popular to burst your bubble and give you a sense of reality. But let me tell you something. I'm going to be 63 years old soon, God willing. So I don't know if I'll live to see what our younger viewers will live to see. But you're going to live to see the day when you're going to see that Chaim ben Pesach was right. You'll live to see the day when America turns into a majority third world country. You'll live to see the day when you'll see that Trump's policies did not reverse this and didn't save America. That America went downhill after all. In fact, went downhill at a faster pace under Trump than what was going on under Obama. You're going to live to see that day. And then you realize, I don't know if you'll realize, you probably won't realize it. Even then, you'll still be wearing your MAGA hats and still be pretending and still living in your fantasy world and still saying, oh, it was wonderful when we had Trump as president. You'll be nostalgic over having Trump as president. Not facing the reality that he didn't reverse the bad trends that are destroying the United States. And all this time, all I did was tell you the truth. I told you the truth. A truth that you don't want to hear. Tell me where I'm telling you something that isn't true. Is immigration up? Illegal immigration? It is. The debt is not going up faster than it was under Obama? It is. Debt. All the other things I'm talking about that are the things that will destroy America, that Trump himself said were the things that were destroying America under Obama, they're all getting worse under him than they were under Obama. Try to explain to me the logic of what a great job he's doing. Giuliani, who is his spokesman, proved on the crime issue in New York City. New York City was ungovernable. Everybody said there's no way you can solve the problem. People do not remember what it was like in the early 1990s and how everybody said this is hopeless. For decades, people said New York City is a lost cause, the big cities, you just got to recognize, you got to live with the fact there's going to be massive violent crime. And that's it. They're very dangerous places to live in, and that's just the way it's going to be. Giuliani refused to accept that. And he reversed that situation, turned the whole thing around just through sheer will. Power and will, he turned it around, even though the courts and the media and everybody was against him. And he turned it, and the city council, the city council were all Democrats. Everybody was against him. And he turned it around. If you had that type of strong leadership as president on this issue, the situation could be turned around on immigration. And I know we're going to get people writing, oh, Chaim, you don't understand the way, you don't know the way it works. The courts and everybody else, and you can't, and there's nothing you can do. And all the excuses. I know we're going to hear that. But it's baloney. A strong leader can make a big difference. If not, if I'm wrong and you're right that there's nothing you can do, it's hopeless, Trump is doing everything he can. If that's true, then forget it. Your country's finished. Don't wear the MAGA hats. Take down your flags because America's finished if that's true. If that's true, you don't have a shot in hell. You have no chance of saving the country if what you're saying is true. Then there's zero chance of saving the country. Because if you have a president who's really doing everything he can and it isn't doing any good, and things are actually getting worse, then you have no chance. You have zero chance of ever succeeding. If you can't even succeed with a president, with all the powers of the presidency, if that's not enough to turn the situation around on something like immigration, which is an executive function, a function of the executive branch of government, which is the president's power. If you can't succeed with that, then you are doomed. I warned you. I told you. And yes, we're going to be supporting. We're probably going to be supporting Trump. Probably. So don't worry. We're going to be supporting. But I'm not going to wear a MAGA hat, though. And I'm not going to pretend that I think Trump is a great president, because I think he stinks. I just think the Democrats stink worse. And so we're probably, and especially on the issue of Israel. So we're probably going to be supporting Trump. So don't worry about that. We're going to be supporting him. And we're never Trumpers who are going to be supporting Trump. So we actually could be very effective for him, as I've said on prior programs. But the truth is, I had to comment on this Mexico tariffs and the agreement that he was going to make with Mexico. I had to comment on it because this is such a farce. Such a farce. Everything he does is a bluff. This is the art of the deal. He couldn't negotiate his way out of a paper bag. His daddy left him hundreds of millions of dollars. If he had just left that hundreds of millions of dollars in a mutual fund, he'd be a real billionaire today instead of a fake billionaire, which is what he really is. His daddy left him all the money. He was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. Okay? He was not a good businessman. He's not a good negotiator. He is an orange clown. And to show you how bad things are in the United States, all the Democrats running against him are much worse than him. And so even though he's an orange clown, we're going to be telling people to vote for the orange clown. Probably. I'm not sure yet. Again, if he comes out with some surprise on Israel, we're not going to support him. But if he does what it looks like he seems to be preparing to do on Israel, come out with a plan for a so-called one-state solution, which is also stupid, but because he wants to give money to the Arabs, and which is crazy. But still, what he proposes is probably a lesser of the two evils between him and between what the anti-Semitic Democrats are proposing. So we probably will be telling people to vote for him, even though he's an orange clown. And we're more effective in getting him reelected than all of you Trumpsters, because you Trumpsters, the millions of never Trumpers like us who sat out the election in 2016, they're not going to listen to you Trumpsters because they don't agree with you Trumpsters. They don't see what a great president he is. They think they know he's a foul-mouthed, perverted, adulterous, low-life, immoral piece of garbage. They know what he is. A pathological liar. They know what he is. Him and his porn star girlfriends and bribing women and while his wife is pregnant and his wife was several weeks from delivering the baby and he's peeing on a porn star in Moscow and the porn star's peeing on him. I mean, just the lowest of the low. Just the lowest of the low. And then saying that it's great that gay people have marriage now. It's great. And complimenting the American baseball for having on the pitcher's mound the gay flag, and gay flags now on every baseball team. They were required to wear all types of gay things on their uniforms and show how they support the gays and gay marriage. And Trump said he thought it was wonderful that they're doing. He loved it. When he saw Pete Buttigieg with his husband, quote unquote, he said it's great that they're married. Great. He used the word great. Let me tell you something. God will destroy the United States. God will destroy the United States when you have a president with those positions. God will destroy the United States. Forget about everything else. God will destroy America. Once upon a time, there were tens of millions of evangelical Christians who believed what I'm saying now, who understood what I'm saying now, but they've been so hypnotized by the orange clown that now they've forgotten all about that. They've forgotten all about what the Bible says. They've forgotten all about history of nations that have accepted these practices. They've forgotten all about that now. Let's move on to the second subject. Let me see where we are. Oh, this is a long show. We're not gonna be able to take up too much time with the second subject, which is Moshe Feiglin. Two polls were taken recently among religious nationalist voters, showing that Moshe Feiglin gets only 3.9%. One poll taken for a website called Makor Rishon. It was a newspaper. Now it's a website. It's called Makor Rishon. It's also still a newspaper, but it's primarily, you know, in this age of the internet, newspapers are dead. It's basically a website. They did a poll, and they found that Feiglin gets only 3.9% of the vote in the religious nationalist camp. The religious nationalists are about 20% of Israeli Jewish voters. And Feiglin has to get support from that group because that's his base. That's his natural base. Those are his natural voters. If he doesn't get support among those people, he's never going to have a big successful party. And the poll also found that only 1% of the religious nationalist voters identified him as the person who should be the leader of the religious nationalist camp. 3.9% said they would vote for his party, Zehut, and 1% said that he should be the leader. So he's doing very poorly with that group. And he's got to turn that situation around. There was another poll for the newspaper and the website Besheva. Besheva is connected to Arut Sheva. Those of you who are familiar with Arut Sheva. And they did another poll. And in that poll, 50% of people in the religious nationalist camp said that they were against this talk now of bringing all the religious nationalist parties together and making them all one party to run together so to be stronger in the next election. 50% of the people in the religious nationalist camp said they don't want Zehut, they don't want Moshe Feiglin's party to be part of any getting together of the parties in the religious nationalist camp. In other words, they want all the parties to get together, but not Zehut and Moshe Feiglin. In other words, there's hostility to Moshe Feiglin in this camp. And the reason there's hostility is because of mistakes that were made in the campaign. And again, we have been trying to push Moshe Feiglin and Zehut to the right, and we've succeeded. He's taking more right-wing positions. He understands he has to run on the right now. And he really is the most right-wing candidate. He really is the best candidate on the issues that are important to us, like the land of Israel, like the Iranian nuclear threat, like the need to encourage the Arabs to leave Israel with compensation, offer them compensation to leave. On all of these issues, like the threat from Hezbollah in the north and from Hamas in the south, the threat that Israel faces. On all of these issues, and like the fact that he's against U.S. foreign aid to Israel, he wants Israel to be independent. And the fact that he wants an open economy and he's the only free market guy running. All the other parties in Israel are socialist. So he is the best candidate. But he didn't present himself that way in the last election at all. And now he's starting to present himself that way. And we got a lot of work to do to rehabilitate his image, though, in the religious nationalist camp, because he really hurt his image by creating this murky situation where it wasn't clear even if he's right-wing at all. It was bad. And we got to rehabilitate his image. So I just want you to know JTF is working on that. And JTF is the one, is JTF is the group, the force among the Feiglin supporters, among the Zehut supporters. We are the group that pushes and pressures on that front. No one else is doing that from the right. No one else. Because once again, JTF is doing what no one else would do. And a lot of the things we do sometimes are unpopular because this is a generation where telling the truth is just unpopular. You're just not allowed to tell the truth anymore. But that's not going to stop us. We're going to tell the truth, whether it's popular or not. Because we love the Jewish people and love the land of Israel and the state of Israel and love Hashem, we love God. And we want God's plan for Israel to succeed and work and move as quickly as possible. And we want Geulah Shlema, we want the final redemption, the final complete redemption. So we're going to fight this battle. We've already turned things around as far as Zehut and Moshe Feiglin to a certain degree in the past several weeks, as far as getting him aware and getting him conscious of what he has to do to change. And We got quite a battle ahead of us before the September 17th Israeli Knesset elections in order to make this thing happen the way it should. We got a tough battle ahead of us. We're going to do everything we can to make sure that Moshe Feiglin gets in the Knesset in the September 17th election, because they have new elections coming up on September 17th in roughly 3 months. We're going to do everything we can to make sure that Feiglin gets in the Knesset, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure that he stays committed to a right-wing platform and a right-wing program. And then, after that, we're going to begin our campaign in the American presidential election, which will be to expose the anti-Semitic Democrats. And again, Never Trumpers going after the anti-Semitic Democrats, and Never Trumpers telling you that as bad as you may think Trump is, we're going to be addressing the millions of conservatives who refuse to vote for Trump. We're going to say, as bad as he is, on balance, he is better than the Democrats. And with a campaign like that, we could get him enough votes to push him over the top. It's possible. It really is possible. So, we got a lot of exciting things coming up. Help us, join with us, participate with us so that we can make a difference in the Israeli election coming up, the Israeli Knesset election coming up, and so that we can continue telling the truth and bringing the truth to people. Because without us, there'd be no voice of truth, either in Israel or the United States. Help us so that there will continue to be a voice of truth, and help us strengthen that voice of truth. Because the more the truth is spread, the more people hear the truth, and the more people are exposed to the truth, the better chance we have for turning the situation around and making this a better world. If we work together as a team, we can make this a better world. For JTF Until Next Week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.